Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. As always, I'm so happy to be with everybody. And I'll just give you a quick weather report. It's absolutely outstanding in New Jersey, down the Jersey Shore. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my very special guest this evening. And I'm just going to pronounce his last name and then he can correct me. But it's Sean Peronard. And
that's
he
right.
is with. Good. I'm getting better. Right? Anyway, he's with Counterfeit Cash, which is a Johnny
right.
Cash tribute. And he is also an actor, a singer, a musician, a screenplay writer, and film producer. So now in the first promo, I put that he was born and raised in Jersey because I just saw, like, you know, I do my little spying, and I go and I look at whatever I can, and I didn't catch that he was born in Dublin, Ireland. So he corrected me on that, and then I had to go back, Sean, thank you, and tell everybody because I did. I had this OCD or whatever. There's no way I was going to leave it being incorrect. So I went back and edited that on every single promo that I did. So anyway, I'm just going to ask you, Sean, and it's so nice to have you because we have been waiting a few months to do this show.
Thank you for having me. Yes, it's been a while.
And that's only good news for me because I have so many people, you know, that are waiting. I have still 100 people, you know, waiting to come on, and it's just really wonderful. I just love it. But if I have, someone that has a big special event that's coming up and I've known them and I've been, like, going to their venues in Asbury Park, of course I have to kind of put them in. And so sometimes I have to, unfortunately, bump or put off a show. And unfortunately, that's showbiz. So without
further ado,
and I've said that once already, I don't like repeating myself. Toastmasters would be giving me a nice big red light. But so I'm going to go ahead with the green light. And Sean, just ask you, since my show is about childhood memories and how they influenced you in becoming who you are today, I'm just going to ask you, like, who was your major influence growing up and why?
Well, I had a few of them. I do the Johnny Cash tribute show called Counterfeit Cash, but I spell it differently. It's Counterfeit Cash. And I spell it differently because when I first started doing this, nobody knew how to spell it in the places I was playing at, so I had to spell it wrong, and then suddenly I noticed people found me. So, but as far as...
It's perfect. It's perfect.
It works, you know.
I looked it up because I did a counterfeit. Is that right? And then I thought, but wait a minute, that's perfect—a name for the group because you're not Johnny Cash, but you're doing Johnny Cash. I think it's a very, very unique and very fabulous name. But anyway, so
Thank you.
Here we go.
As far as influences, you know, your early influences are always going to be the same as they are when you first discovered them when you're younger as to now and in the future. So when I first started growing up, I liked a lot of 50s music. And when I was in second grade, I started learning how to play guitar.
Wow.
And so who influenced me to start playing guitar, believe it or not, was my mother. Because the first day of second grade, I came home, I forgot my homework. And I had a little kid-sized acoustic guitar, you know, and I was trying to, you know, strum it and everything. I didn't know what I was doing. Came home from school and forgot my homework. My mom said, well, you got to learn something today. So she called up Milburn Music, which is no longer there, and she got me a guitar lesson. A half hour later, I was there playing guitar for getting my first lesson.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's what a great mom.
Yeah, you know, and she still supports what I do today, you know. She's always behind me for everything I do and always calls me up and tells me to break a leg before every show and all that. So, and my uncle back home in Ireland, he's a famous musician over there back home too. So when I was little, I went over there watching him. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we talked about that. When I was over home in Ireland when I was much younger, I saw him play on stage with his band that he had at the time, and that kind of helped push things along a little bit. And, you know, you have your musical influences and all that, and I started off like in 50s music, like Elvis.
Right.
And all that, and then I moved into more 60s, 70s music, and then, you know, just I kind of kept going from there. And how I got into playing Johnny Cash was I was playing, I lived down at the Jersey Shore for a couple of years, and I was playing at a place called Bar A, which is very famous. Anybody who lives down there knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, too. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And,
yeah, I've been there many times.
Oh, yeah, and I was playing there with a different band.
Sardine time.
Sorry?
You're packed in there like sardines.
Oh, yeah, yeah, on a good night, yeah. And but right. On the night that I was playing, you know, no, there was like 10 people there. But I was playing in a different band, and I was doing some backup singing and all that, and we got off the stage, and a young lady comes up to me and says, you know, you sound just like Johnny Cash. I said, no, I don't. Yeah, you know, you even talk like him a little bit. No, get out of here. So, sure enough, the next night, I'm playing down at Paul's Tavern, which is right down the street from Boré, and it's an open mic acoustic show and all that, and, you know, I had nothing else to do, so I went down there to play, and I'm the only one who brought an electric guitar that night, and I came time for me to go up and play a few songs, and so I plugged in my guitar and started playing, I think I sang a Doors song, Light My Fire, and nobody listened.
That song. Yeah,
Yeah, but nobody listened at all, like, to my version of it. Like, I mean, nobody. It didn't get any applause. And, you know, I've played in many bands before then, and this was sort of like I just wanted to get out and play somewhere. And it was kind of, you know, and nobody applauds for you at all. It's sort of like, oh, why am I doing this? So I thought to myself, Johnny Cash, huh? I think I know some of his songs. Let me see. Dun, 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 dun. And I started singing, well, I hear a train a-coming. It's a-rolling around the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on. And that train keeps a-rolling. All down the San Antone. And sure enough, everybody...
I knew you were going to do it, and it's just perfectly fine. I don't think the music, the whatever, are going to come after me saying, you can't have that happen because I do it all the time. Oh, I sing all the time. I'll start singing for, you know, no reason at all. Well, just be talking to somebody, and something will come in my head, and I'll start. But anyway, so
I'm sorry about that.
Great.
But,
and people like, no, that's fine. I'm glad you did. And everybody, and you sound, and you do sound like him. And even on, it's hard to sound like that, even on, like, you know, the cell phones and things like that, landline phones. But no, I could definitely tell that. I'm sure you're really a knockout in person and on stage with your electric guitar. And I want to tell you that a friend of mine had said, because I had actually sent somebody to you as far as to talk to you about movies and things. And she said, oh, wow, check out those sideburns. Boy, he really looks, he reminds me, he's a good-looking guy, wow. He does Johnny Cash. I said, yeah, so that's a nice compliment for you.
That sure is. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, okay, so that's the music end of it. And so you basically have been doing that for quite a while. And then how did you get into acting? Like, what kind of brought you into the acting scene? Even though I know a lot of musicians are actors, you know, but what happened there?
And when I was much younger, I was very shy. And in order to kind of break out of that, you kind of have to, you know, act, make people laugh. I love making people laugh. That was the best thing for me. You know, when I see people laugh because of something I said, it's, you know, that's a compliment to me, you know. And laughing at me, laughing with me, of course. Yeah.
Exactly.
And there's a difference, you know. But
But you know, laughter is great. So if you can induce that, you'll get people to laugh. It's great, even if it's at your expense sometimes. Sometimes I've been told I'm funny, and then I'll go, I don't care. Laugh at me if you want, as long as you get a good chuckle out of it. It's good for the soul, so go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what people think of me, but go ahead.
That helps too, you know. And you don't care what people think of you. But I started doing stand-up comedy a number of years ago, and just around the same time I was starting Johnny Cash, as I told you, you know, which became a success because I did that show, and I was kind of like, you know, everybody loved that show. So moving on from there to the acting, I started doing stand-up comedy, and I wrote my own material. I don't do it very much anymore because I like to make my shows funny. Like, I like making the audience laugh in between songs. I'm pretty good like that. But in order to make a whole room full of people laugh on just your jokes alone is one of the hardest jobs in the world.
I
found out the hard way.
Right.
But
yeah,
I never got booed.
I've interviewed three pretty well-known comedians, or four actually to date now. And yes, I admire stand-up comics very much because
it's hard. It's hard.
Being like a musician, like a singer, songwriter, guitar player, and all that, I didn't have much trouble with that. But I would get really extra nervous speaking. So what I did in California was when I lived there, I went to Toastmasters, which is where they teach you how to public speaking.
Right.
And it really helped me. Really helped me a lot. And so I don't know if I still goof up on my radio show and things like that, but at least I'm aware of it now, and I know how you're supposed to run a radio show. I have to interject something now. I put this on my friend, and he's known me since I'm 8 years old because my father ended up working with him. And his name is Henry DeCaro Sr. So, Henry, if you're out there listening to this, Henry happened to be Johnny Cash's best friend for his entire life from when he was very young till Johnny Cash passed away. And he wrote a book, and it's called Johnny Cash is a Friend of Mine. And I'm very happy because he had given me a very special gift, and he wrote a really nice, something on the inside page because my father worked for him for so many years, and my brother Billy is well known in the music business as a lead guitarist and a jazz blues guitarist, and it's too long of a story to tell again, but he told me, you know, he put, now make sure you go to that page where I talk about your dad and your brother, because your brother was responsible for me buying Kramer guitars. But he owned several businesses, Henry. And so I put your post right on his page so that he could maybe listen to the show. And, yeah, because he loves Johnny Cash. I mean, they were truly best friends. And in the book, in fact, you've got to see this book. So I think you would really enjoy it because it's got so many wonderful photographs and stories about Johnny Cash's life and their friendship. So, yeah, we're going to have to meet and get together, and I'll bring the book, and you can, thumb through it, and I think you would enjoy
that.
Oh,
definitely, yeah. Yeah, I hope he's listening now. I hope he's enjoying it, and
I
hope he comes to see a show one day, you know.
Right, right.
I might not look like Johnny, but I sure sound like him.
Right, right. Yeah, but you've got, when you have that coat, you know, the right clothes on, and you have the right stage presence, and you sound, it doesn't matter. I have a friend, they call him Frankie Oki, and he sings at this very popular karaoke in Pier Village in Long Branch. It's a friend of mine, Sherry Gilmore. And this fellow sings just like Bruce Springsteen. If you close your eyes, you would think it was Bruce. I was just dumbfounded when I heard him, but he doesn't look anything like him. So it doesn't matter really if you look so much. It's like really if you can project his music and sound like him, I think that's really the number one key to your success. But where can people find your schedule as far as where and when you're playing?
Well, we just had a show the other day at Crossroads in Garwood, and we are booking, I actually have to call someone tomorrow about this, but we are booking at the Blackthorn in Kenilworth during the summer, and we play the Crossroads every now and again. We play Tim Kerwin's in Middlesex, and we are currently also looking for a booking agent, and we would like to see if we can get some festivals, some theaters, and go from there. And so it's always constantly evolving. You know, I'm never satisfied playing just one place all the time. That's why you'll never catch us always Friday nights at such and such tavern or whatever.
Right.
No, we don't typically do it. We typically like to go around and keep it fresh and new, and we do like to play places. And we are trying to step up the game. You know, I got a great bunch of guys with me playing, and so we've been playing together about 4 years now, I think. This lineup,
that's
I've had
great.
A few different lineups, but this one is so far the best, and we've gone through a lot of good times and a lot of bad times together, and that's what makes a band tight. And so my guys know how to play that railroad track rhythm that's essential to Johnny's music, but we look like, you know, rock stars doing it, you know, because none of us really look like we should fit the bill. You know, I look like Lemmy from Motorhead. I do. I have the same. I look like him, but I sound like Johnny Cash. So it's an interesting kind of thing we got going on. But everybody in the band plays it so well, and we just had a show the other night. Last Friday, actually, we had a show, and we tore the roof off the place, and we had, it was so much fun. We treat every show like it's a concert, like it's a rock concert.
Like,
you never
like
find
Madison
us going
Square
up.
Garden, right? Like
well,
Garden.
You know, there's an old saying, practice like you play, and play like you practiced. So, you know, when we started practicing a few years ago, I was not satisfied with just, let's just play straight off the record. Let's just play like we are a bar band or something. No, never. No, I insisted that we play it a little louder, that we play it just like Johnny did, but we like to get people into it, you know. And we don't want to play for a room where everyone has their back turned to us. That's not why we're doing this. So we
exactly.
want people to watch the show. And so that's why I was like, well, once we get up there on stage and we rock out, it's just, you know, it's a concert we give. That's what we like
right.
to do. And we put everything into it. And that's,
well, I will say,
you know,
that
you're why.
Like, I will interject that, you know, you're a nice looking guy and you've got those sideburns and then you
Thank
have
you.
That hat and you have that attitude, that Johnny Cash attitude.
Yeah.
So, and you sound like him. So I think you're like running, you know, 100% on this whole thing. You've got it down. The name is great.
Oh,
too.
Always.
I love the name Counterfeit Cash. It's a perfect name.
Yeah.
It really is,
that
because
gets
when
people,
you think
yeah.
about it, it's like counterfeit money. Like, you know, it's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's fake. It's you're really not him, but you're the closest to it. You got to look real close to it or hear real close to make sure it's not him. So that's perfect. But I really want to talk to you because I want to tell my audience, everybody out there listening, that Sean is also the president and CEO of Paranard Productions, and it's been in existence since January 2003 to present day. And it's in New Jersey and in greater New York City area. So it's a full-on production company. And please tell us, like, some of the films that you've been in and what films that you're currently working on.
Well, that Paranard Productions is basically, I'm a screenplay writer. And as much as I love acting and everything else I do, I also love writing and reading. I love reading, too. And so I started writing in college. I wrote the first big thing I ever wrote was a sequel to the Stephen King story, Christine. And unfortunately, after, you know, I lost the computer after I finished writing the story. The whole thing crashed. I lost it, and so that kind of took the wind out of my sails, but at the same time made me work extra hard at writing, so I got better at it. So since then, I've written a few different screenplays I'm going to tell you about right now. Some of the acting I've done, though, I was in a movie called Vicious Thunder, which is coming out in a couple of months from now. That's coming out. And I was just in another film this past year called American Brawler. It stars Zach McGowan. It's about Chuck Wepner, the boxer. And we have Taryn Manning from Orange is the New Black in the film. Amy Smart was in it. It was a really good film. directed by Ken Kushner. It's a really, really good film. I was there for a few days on set. Yeah, and that was fun. We were in Atlantic City for a couple of days filming, and so it was, that's going to be coming out later this year, I hope. And but some of the other movies I have is one that I wrote called Mobsters vs. Zombies.
Yeah, and, my daughter would love that. She would love that.
Yeah.
Zombies and Halloween. Of course, in Asbury Park, have you ever seen the photographs? If you go online and even Google it, Asbury Park Zombie Walk, you'd be amazed. The boardwalk all the way from Convention Hall to the casino, which is, I don't know how many miles. I don't even know if it's 2 miles, but it's a big, it is totally packed with zombies, and it's a whole day event, and it's really, really crazy. I mean, it's so popular. It's just unbelievable. So,
that's
Mobsters and Zombies. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yep,
and then I liked
yep,
when you said Smokey and the Bandit sequel. You're working on that?
Ah, yeah. We've got that going on, too, apart from Mobsters versus Zombies, which, by the way, is sort of a take on one of those zombie walks. I had the idea a few years back on, well, what if there was a real zombie at one of those zombie fests among all the fake ones? Like, what would happen? So I kind of thought of the rest
I'm
of the story based off that, and it's a spoof on The Sopranos.
You're scaring me now. I never even, went down there, ever. Like, in fact, I was there one day late, and I thought, oh, well, I'm safe. There won't be any zombies around. And then come a few into the Wonder Bar, and I'm like, ooh, this is my girlfriend's unbound book. I said, oh, this doesn't feel right. Let's get out of here. It's too real. I don't like all that blood and guts and hands falling off.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's basically a...
Go ahead. Yeah, you
no, it's basic.
Kind of...
It's a spoof on The Sopranos, and you would put zombies in it, and it's it's funny, So we're green light on that, and so we're going to start filming the teaser for that pretty soon, and hopefully the feature right after that. And so we're getting locations, and we're trying to cast for that and do everything with that. But as far as Smokey and the Bandit is concerned, I wrote a sequel to Smokey and the Bandit a couple years ago. I met Burt Reynolds last year, and I showed him my sequel.
Wonderful. I love him.
Yeah, that was interesting meeting him. Yeah.
That must have been a thrill.
Oh, it was. I mean, I got to meet the bandit himself, and he signed it.
Exactly.
And I got to speak with him.
I've met a few actors and actresses, and what I really met is mostly, and I'm writing a book about it, because I have met so many musicians, like iconic musicians. Lots of them aren't alive today, but I was a 60s generation person growing up, and then I just had the... And I never told the one of them that I was into music. It's so strange, but I do have a lot of history, so I'll be doing that. But getting back to the films for a minute, I want to really quick, because I'm seeing, my gosh, this is going, I knew this was going to go so dang fast. But there was an extra in a movie with Pierce Brosnan called The Heist many, many years ago in California. Mm. And then in California, they do so many takes and so many different ideas of things, and then they put the movie together later, and then they'll have a million things to choose from to make the movie the best it can be. And I had so many different parts, and then I didn't think I even got my car in it. But anyway, they gave me so many different jobs, and then I don't remember seeing myself, and it may have been too fast, and I didn't see it. But I just went last week to, I got the word through a friend of a friend, and they needed extras for a movie. And I'm not going to get into talking about it yet, because they're just starting to promote it now, and I will be promoting it as well. And it's, but I don't want to, say any names or anything. But, and so I was in that as an extra. And then I heard that another producer was going to be auditioning for cast members for a film. Not extras, but for cast members.
Nice.
Cast actors. And so, and I wanted to tell you about it, too. So I'll text you afterwards who he is, and you can get in touch with him. Because they're still auditioning people. I got a part.
Yeah.
I read.
Oh, you did.
I got a part.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I got a important speaking acting part. And now I'm like,
good for you.
Moly, am I going to remember my lines? And so, but since I was an extra in a few films, I realized That's what the take one, take two, take three, people goof up. They're not perfect. Yeah. You know, even the best of actors forget their lines sometimes, and then they start
happens.
Over again. So it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be good with it. And they loved me from the beginning when I walked in the door, my energy. They just said they already had me cast as she's this one. But anyway, I'll put you in touch with him, the producer. He's a wonderful guy, and you can talk to him because I don't know what other parts. But so you never know, like, what's going to lead you where. And if you remember the first time I talked to you, we were texting back and forth, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll have you on my radio show, but I want to be in one of your movies, so you better think of something.
That's right, yeah.
this is a you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back type of a thing, you know?
Yeah, I know this. I know. Maybe we'll have you as a zombie or something, you know.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I could probably be a good zombie, though, because I have red hair right down to my, you know, behind. And, I could probably. And I am an actor. I mean, look, I've been an entertainer my whole life. Even as a kid in grammar school, they were trying to kick me out all the time because I wouldn't shut up, you know. I was always talking, and they wouldn't keep me quiet. But anyway, yeah, I could probably make a good zombie, and I could drag the leg. I mean, I could just, I'll take it. All right, so anyway, back to you, dear, because we have, like, 3 minutes and 42 seconds, and we'll probably go over, and I love my studio, and I love the people that, like, edit it and get it up on my page within, like, 5 minutes, because they usually, I go over when I start promoting all of my nonprofits, because I have 9 nonprofits now, and I have a sponsor. And I always throw it out there, folks, this is for fun and for free. This is my giving back time. I've been really blessed in my life, so I just want everybody to know that I do this because I love the arts, and I love supporting people like the person, Sean, that's on my show right today. So, and I do have, when you said you were looking for a booking agent, I already do have someone in mind that I can put you in touch with and see, you know, where things go. But it is all that word of mouth and networking. I have networking in my background. So, but back to you again. I would like to say also that you are SAG and AFTRA and members of WGA, so you are definitely, you know, a 100% accredited actor and producer and screenwriter. And kudos to you, my friend. That's really great accomplishment. To be so multi-talented, and I find so many of the artists are so multi-talented. But and I'll say, too, that you can be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Just Google Sean. Put in counterfeit cash, and it'll take you, because I did that. It'll take you to him if you forget anything else.
Does it work?
Oh,
because
yeah,
I haven't
homework.
Checked myself.
I do my homework, I do.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, because I didn't even do that. I have no idea what comes up. We're not computer savvy in this counterfeit cash brand, you know. You can look me up on, I always tell people, you know, you can look me up on Facebook at Sean Perrenard, and you could check it out on Nancy's page here. My name is spelled there, but if you want me to spell it, it's Sean, spelled the right way, S-E-A-N. And,
right.
My last name is spelled P-E-R-O.
Yeah, I know. I'll go ahead and
Yeah, I know, that's right. Yeah, we were talking about that. My last name is P as in Peter, E-R-O-N-A-R-D. So unfriend me.
Right.
You know, I'll be friends with everybody. And counterfeit cash, you just spell it the way I spell it, and you'll find me there, too. You can't miss me.
Right.
You know, I look different, you know.
No, you look good. You look the part. And they said,
you
did those sideburns. I said, yeah. You don't see them every day, not unless you want to go down to Texas. You know, you go down south and you'll see a lot of that for sure, but not in New Jersey. Actually, I had a boyfriend, and he had a Harley Davidson, and I was young.
Yeah.
I was like 17 years old, and he would come up from Oakhurst, which in those days we called it like hillbilly town. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. But he would drive this. I could hear this Harley Davidson coming from like miles away. It was so loud. But he had really long sideburns. And the hair, like the pompadour hairdo, like really beautiful hair. And he was a good-looking guy, too. And he used to take me on his motorcycle, and my parents would, like, be holding their breath till he brought me home safe. They must have said he was a very nice guy. He wasn't like, he was a very quiet, shy guy, actually. But I don't know, maybe if you got him mad, he would change. I never really got him mad, so he was always very sweet to me. But that's funny, you just reminded me of Roger. But anyway, I can't believe the show goes so darn fast. It's really come to the end of it. And is there anything else you want to, like, share with the audience before we have to say goodbye? For now,
well,
because
I just,
we're not
like,
saying goodbye. I intend on speaking with you and trying to help you out. And if you ever, you know, when you start having those things coming out, send me a text and some promo, and I'll stick it all over. I'll do many promos for you.
Oh, that would be great, because I know that your listeners probably would like our show, and it's Counterfeit Cash, and hopefully they'll like the movies too. You know, I got, like I said, Monsters vs. Zombies. I got Smokey and the Bandit I'm trying to do, and I have to go and do a lot of work on that one too. I gave Burt Reynolds a copy of that one, and so we're talking right now and see where, how far that goes. And I'm meeting with someone. Oh, thank you. we need it because you know, it's hard work getting this thing off the ground. You know, Universal Pictures still owns the rights to this thing, so we gotta try and get them on board to do the film. And we're trying to get as many actors on board as we can. And so that's Saturday. I have to go down to Philadelphia to go meet with someone who would like to have in this movie.
Actors on board. Where's your red pen? Write it down. Nancy Ryan, a.k.a. Ryan Rocks, actors on board. And I have a bunch of other, well, I don't have a bunch, but I've met quite a few. I have quite a few actors that are in radio. So, actor friends. So, yeah, if you need actors and actresses, you just call me. Mm. Call me up, and we'll, you can, you know, give them a little audition.
Oh, we'll do. Yeah, well, once we get to doing the official
casting,
I appreciate it.
We have to get you down to the Jersey Shore this summer and in Asbury Park. You got to do some shows here.
We would love to play there, but like I said, we have some shows we do up here, but we really want to play elsewhere.
How far are you?
Well, I'm actually, I would say about an hour's drive.
Okay.
And, a few tolls. No big deal. I can get down there. Yeah, we would love to play down there. You know, we would love to play someplace different. Like I said before, you know, we don't like playing the same shows over and over and over. We like to go and expand, and we try new things and meet new people and gain a bigger audience. And it takes going out there and playing different, bigger places to do that. And so that's why we're definitely trying to hit the big time with this. And we got a good show. So that's why we think it, not just for us, but we think that Johnny Cash deserves to still be out there in the mainstream, still being heard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So does his lovely wife. Absolutely. So listen, we've run out of time, but I want to tell you that, you know, I've been like promoting. I was nominated in the category of Top Radio Personality Supporting Local Talent at the Asbury Music Awards that was held at the legendary Stone Pony. And I'm starting to add that to my promo because I want people to know that that's really a good, you know, I spent a lot of evenings down in Asbury Park and all of the different venues and clubs and know everyone. So, like, I'll definitely make it a point to speak with you afterwards and see if I can connect you up. Well, I can, you know, connect you up with the right people who do the hiring for these venues, and then the rest is up to you. So I'm going to thank you, Sean, so much for coming Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. You've been a wonderful guest, and I just wish you the very best. I wish you the very best
thank
of your
you.
Upcoming events, and I hope that you do keep me in mind, and you know, we'll both try to help each other. That's what it's all about, helping each other, to realize our dreams. And one thing I was going to say to you, and I'm quite a few years older, I think I've gained a little wisdom, but it certainly is persistence and, like, patience and persistence, and just keep doing it, and then all of a sudden, voila, there it is. I mean, it all, I can't believe so many things are happening for me now, right now, because I held in there when I was thinking, I thought, gosh, just when I was ready to say, don't I really want to do this? This is so much work. And just right then, and I said, no, I'm going to continue doing this because this is
so
good
absolutely.
For it keeps me busy. I've been retired for years. But we got to go. We could talk forever, but I must end the episode. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you for having me.
Hang up or you can listen to the promos, but I have to promote my other nonprofits. So thank you, Sean.
Okay.
Everybody go.
Thank you, Nancy.
As you've been, you're quite welcome. It was my pleasure. It was my pleasure having you. Okay, good night and have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye-bye. You
bye.
Too. Okay, folks, well, I'm way over time as usual, and I hope that, everyone enjoyed the show like I did, but I have to give you a quick my nonprofits. They are Minister Steve with 10 City, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, City of Angels, Recovery Radio, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes, Carlos Rodriguez, Director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties, the Monmouth County SPCA, Paul A. Ressler, President and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Corporation Agency. And the last but not least, I wanted to tell you that Tim McClunes, his holiday founder of Holiday Express, is my number 9 and my lucky number. December 9th is my birthday. And there's only one more thing I want to say, and that is that I have taken on or was very fortunate to have a new dentist, and her name is Dr. Inna Silman, and she is on Smiles on Broadway in Long Branch, and she is my new dentist and has given me the most beautiful new crown. And she is supporting my radio show, and I'm just so happy to have her involved. As I said, I'll be in radio almost 4 years. And so with that, and I say it's for fun and for free, a little bit of a discount on my work and a barter. And so everybody out there, scratch each other's backs and barter and, just enjoy life. Okay, everybody, goodbye. Until next time, I have a fabulous guest coming on in 2 weeks. You don't want to miss it. In fact, you probably won't miss it. Bye-bye, everybody.